Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to Psalm 79. Psalm 79. We are in a brand new series for a brand new year. The theme of this year is the shepherd and the sheep. And with that, we understand that over 100 times in the Word of God, God uses the phrase shepherd or sheep or lamb or flock to kind of deal with the idea of the relationship that God sees with us, the idea of the relationship of that He is the shepherd and we are the sheep. And this is one of God's favorite ways to relate to us, that we are sheep, He is the shepherd. And so we're going to start a little theme this year, or start a series of several messages walking through the Word of God and noticing different places where God relates to the shepherd and the sheep. And to start this series off, we wanted to do a little bit of an introduction about the shepherd, talk a little bit about the sheep, and we want to start in the book of Psalm 79. Psalm 79. If you don't mind, start with me in verse number 1. Psalm 79 and verse 1. O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, and the flesh of thy saints unto the beast of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. We have become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to them that are round about us. How long, Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? Pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. Oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. Deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God? Let him be known among the heathen and in our sight by the revenging of the blood of thy servants which is shed. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee. According to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those that are appointed to die. And render unto our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom of their reproach, wherewith they have reproached thee, O Lord. So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, when you mark a phrase that we find in Psalm 79, Psalm 79, and in verse number 13, notice the phrase, sheep of thy pasture. Sheep of thy pasture. And with the Lord's help, I want to introduce this series of the shepherd and the sheep with this idea here from this passage, the sheep of thy pasture. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And I thank you for this personal, intimate relationship you have with us of you being the shepherd and us being the sheep. I'm asking that as we explore and understand what sheep are and how they are and their characteristics, that we can understand our part in this relationship, that what we are like and how you truly take care of us because we need you to take care of us. I'm asking as we begin this brand new year and brand new series that we would become more dependent upon you all the time. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you don't mind, in Psalm 79, just to kind of introduce this idea, that most of Psalm 79 is a very dour, damp, sour psalm. That this is one of the psalms of Asaph. Asaph was one of the hymnists, the writers. He wrote 12 psalms. This is one of them. And this is a psalm explaining and talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. If you remember in history that Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC. And this is a psalm that is speaking about the destruction. That here's Jerusalem laying waste. Here's Jerusalem that's all destroyed. And the heathen are laughing. The heathen are rejoicing. The heathen are looking. In fact, in verse 10, it says, "Wherefore shall the heathen say, where is their God?" That what's happening is that the heathen are watching Jerusalem being destroyed, this city that was called by God's name, and the heathen are saying, "Where's their God? I thought their God was so powerful. I thought their God was great." And the psalmist at the very end of it, notice this statement of faith towards the end. "So we, thy people, and the sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations." What the psalmist is doing is giving praise to God that in the midst of horrible times, in the midst of the city being destroyed, in the midst of the heathen making fun of them, you can still trust and depend upon your shepherd. That you could look, your shepherd is not there just for bad times or good times. He's there for bad times. Your shepherd is there when you need him, in the hardest times and the best of times. That God is this great shepherd. It is one of God's greatest titles that he uses to show the relationship between him and the people, the shepherd and the sheep. If you don't mind, I'd like to kind of introduce this series, and I want to hit a couple ideas that the Bible describes about the shepherd and the sheep. But before I do that, I want to talk about some facts about sheep. That if you're going to study this idea of the shepherd and the sheep, then we need to understand naturally, what are sheep like? Because God calls us sheep. What is he referring to? Is he referring to one of the most majestic animals all throughout the kingdom? What is he talking about? Is he talking about one of the cleverest, the most intelligent? What is he referring to us when he calls us sheep? What does he see us as? Well, if you don't mind, let's start off by explaining and looking at some natural facts about sheep. One of the first things I want to tell you about sheep is that sheep are dumb. Sheep are dumb. We're using the word dumb as an idea of they're not intelligent, because they're not. Sheep are stupid. They're very stupid. Let me give you an example. That hundreds of sheep had followed their leader off a cliff in eastern Turkey, plunging to their deaths while shepherds looked on in dismay. 400 sheep fell 15 meters to their death, or 150 meters to their death, in a ravine in the Van province near Iran, but broke the fall of another 1,100 animals who survived. So what you had is you had the first sheep that went, "Bah, I know there's a cliff there, but there's got to be something good down there. Let's look, bah," and the first one fell. And the second one said, "Hey, where'd my buddy go? Let me go follow him." And the second one fell. And the third one. Then 400 fell, and when they fell, they all died. Well, they didn't stop there. 401 went down there and said, "Man, I miss my friends." And they went off the cliff too. You ever remember when your parents used to come there? Well, if Billy went off the cliff, would you follow him? Well, sheep would. 1,500 sheep jumped off this cliff. 400 died. The other one survived by landing on the bodies of the other sheep. Sheep are dumb. They are stupid, dumb creatures. So when God says, "You are the sheep," he's not talking about how great and smart you are. He's referring to that you're pretty dumb. And if you were to be honest with yourself, you've done some dumb things. You may have not jumped over the cliff, though some of you may have tried. You may have done some other things that were really stupid. You look back, maybe some other people looked at you and said, "What was you thinking?" As a parent, do you ever talk to your children and say, "What was you thinking?" And they go, "I don't know." You know, that's an honest answer. They don't know what they were thinking. And oftentimes we do the same thing. We don't know what we're doing. We're dumb and we do all kinds of dumb things. And God's up in heaven so patiently looking at us dumb creatures. And he says, I'm the shepherd and you are the sheep. Another natural characteristic of sheep is that sheep are directionless. Not only are sheep dumb, but they're directionless. What does that mean? That means they get lost easy. They're prone to wander. And they don't wander to something good, they just start wandering around. Even in a perfect environment with all of its needs met, a sheep will wander away. That's why a shepherd has to keep a constant eye on the sheep or they'll wander away. They just don't sit by you and pant and say, I'm glad to be here. They just kind of just start walking away for no reason whatsoever. They just start going, well, I wonder what's over here. They just are prone to wander. And because they're directionless, they don't know where they're going. They cannot go and find water on their own. They don't know where it's at. They don't know how to find the river. They just kind of, what's over here? Hey, look, there's a cliff. I wonder what's over there. It must be something good. They're directionless creatures. Well, if you understand biblical terminology, we often use the word lost. What do we mean by lost? We mean someone who doesn't know how to get to heaven. They're lost. They don't know the way. Well, there's plenty of times for us, we're directionless. That even after we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, there are times in life where we go, I don't know where to go. I have no clue. And there's times that we don't even think about it. We just wander off. And all of a sudden we find ourselves way over there. How did I get here? We were just wandering away. Even when there was something good and all of our provisions met, we're still prone to wander. We're still prone to wander. Sheep are very directionless. That's why all throughout the Bible, both in the New Testament and the Old Testament, you'll see the phrase about the shepherd having compassion on the sheep because they had no shepherd. The sheep were scattered because they had no shepherd. You'll see that in the book of Numbers, where Moses is saying, I'm about ready to die. Lord, you got to provide a shepherd, otherwise the sheep will wander away. Jesus is looking from the hills, looking down on Jerusalem, and looks, and he's moved with compassion because all the sheep that are scattered, having no shepherd. All throughout the Bible, you'll see this phrase pop up over and over and over again. Because without a shepherd to harness them and keep them together, the sheep just kind of prone and wander away. Something else that you understand, talking about nature, looking at sheep, is that sheep are defenseless. Sheep are defenseless. Usually when an animal is threatened by a predator, there are three types of things that an animal will do. One of the first ones is fight. That in a normal case, whenever a predator comes, the animal will fight back, either with quills or poison or fangs or something to kind of fight its way back. But sheep, they can't fight. They're just there. They can't fight back. They have no claws. They have no poison. They have no quills. They're defenseless. All right, so they can't fight. So the other response for animals in a natural setting when they're threatened by a predator or something dangerous, if they can't fight, then they usually flight, meaning they run away. Well, sheep are not fast. They are very, very slow. You could win in a race against a sheep. So let's imagine a bear's coming out and it wants a sheep. Well, one of them is going to get caught. You take a lion. What's going to happen? The sheep can't run away. They're not fast. They're going to get caught. So if a sheep can't fight and it can't flight, what other choices does it have? Well, another response that animals have in order to try to fend off predators is sometimes they will pose. Meaning like a dog will growl, a rattlesnake will rattle its rattle just to kind of scare you, to let them know. There's some animals, there's a lizard out in Australia that it stands up and it's got a big frill and it just stands up and tries to look bigger and it just has that little frill on the side and it's a little small little creature. You got a puffer fish that blow up, that's its defense mechanism, and make it so it looks too big to eat. But a sheep, it can't do any of that. It can't fight. It can't run. It can't make himself look bigger. It just has those big eyes and goes, bah, and it's stuck. They're defenseless creatures. They're just one of the creatures in nature that nobody, that it needs protection. It has to have protection. If no one's afraid of a sheep, when you said, oh, the big bad sheep is coming, it's not a big threat to you. You're not worried about the sheep. Fluffy and furry. I mean, if a sheep came up to you and it looked like it was mean, you'd go pet it, you know. There's nothing scary about a sheep. They're defenseless creatures. So we understand to study nature. When the Bible starts talking about sheep, the Bible, nature tells us that sheep are dumb. Nature tells us that sheep are directionless. Nature tells us that sheep are defenseless. Something else that we do know by studying sheep is that sheep cannot get up on their own. Sheep cannot get up on their own. That when a sheep falls down, there's a term that was invented called cast down. And it comes from the idea of a sheep. Because when a sheep, let's say that it looks down and there's a little ledge off a cliff. Hey, I wonder what's down there. And it'll trip and fall and it land on its back. It's stuck. It's on its back and it can't get up. Its little legs are going, and it can't get up on its own. It's one of those strange creatures that when it's put on its back, it can't roll over. It can't get right. It has to have a shepherd to kind of fix it, to put it upright. In addition, that a sheep, if it does not get sheared, its fur gets so big that it can't even see out of it. And it can get so top heavy because of the wool that it actually falls down and it can't get back up. The wool is so heavy. And so it can be walking along and just falls and it's stuck. And needs someone to help lift him back up. These are type of creatures that need help. If we were to be honest, we're type of creatures that need help. We get in positions all the time where we can't get back up. We're stuck and we need someone to pick us back up. We're stuck and we can't do anything and someone needs to lift us up and put us on a solid rock. That's what sheep are like. In addition, studying nature, that sheep must be sheared for their own good. Sheep must be sheared for their own good. What does that mean? Well, sheep, of course, grow wool. And then if you let that wool grow and grow and grow, as I said before, it will actually cover their face, cover their eyes. It will make them so they keep falling over. So for their health, sheep must be sheared. But sheep hate to be sheared. They hate to have their wool cut off. They just think it's the worst thing ever. And they will fight, not as much as they can fight. They will squirm and they'll move and they'll do everything. They do not like to be sheared, even though it is necessary for their health. But if you know something about sheep, is that they can't shear themselves. It is necessary for a shepherd to shear them. And it's necessary for their health. That sheep must be sheared for their own health. And it is the job of the shepherd to do so. It is the job of the shepherd to do so. Something else that we understand about sheep, just studying them nature, is that they must be led to grass. They must be led to pasture. That sheep cannot find a place to graze on their own. You know, there are some creatures that can find their way home. Dogs and cats have been known to go travel hundreds of miles to go back home to their master. It is amazing that they have such a good sense of direction. Sheep, nope. They can't find pasture on their own. They don't know where to find it at. Now, out here in Wisconsin, we got plenty of green grass, so it's not a big deal. But if you go down to Israel, it is an arid desert climate, and grass doesn't grow all over. It grows in certain places in clumps. Now, what sheep will do is they like to stay in one place. They like to wander, but they get to the place where it's familiar. And what will happen is that sheep will actually eat all the grass down to the dirt. And so there's no more grass to grow because they've eaten everything. And if you left to their own devices, they start to get a little place where they're familiar and they'll actually walk a path over and over that is called a rut. And after a while, they'll defecate in the rut. Bacteria will grow in the rut and it will actually kill them because of the diseases that's found in the rut. They have to be led out of the rut and say, come over here, here is grass. And they have to be led to that. We know that a rut is something that is very dangerous. By the way, a rut is just a grave with both ends knocked out of. You get stuck in a rut, it is a dangerous place to be. That sheep, for their health, they actually have to be led outside of their comfort zone and brought somewhere else for their health. Otherwise, they'll wander in just a little place where they're familiar with and eat all of the grass and not let it grow back. And then they'll starve because they don't know where to go from there. Another thing, just studying about nature. One more thing I want to tell you about studying the facts of sheep from nature is that sheep will remain dirty until someone cleans them. Sheep remain dirty until someone cleans them. Now, sheep skin produces an oil called lanolin. Lanolin, for those who are spelling such things, it's L-A-N-O-L-I-N, lanolin. And this type of oil keeps them warm, but it picks up everything. It picks up dirt, grass, bugs, burr. It picks up everything. Sheep skin with their fur is nasty stuff. They are constantly dirty. But they can't clean themselves. I mean, you could take a cat and a cat will find a way to clean itself. A dog, if it's dirty enough, will go jump into a water or do something for it. Other animals will find a way. Birds will go ahead and pick them out. Monkeys will pick it out of their bugs out of their friend or whatever. But sheep, they're dirty and they can't clean themselves. And they will remain dirty until the shepherd cleans them. And so those are some natural facts. So when God is saying the shepherd and the sheep, we know that is a cute display of affection. But when he's talking to us about sheep, he means it, that we're stupid creatures. We don't know what's best for us. We wander away. We can't clean ourselves. If we don't get sheared from time to time, then we'll just get so heavy and useless and fall over and get cast down, and then we need help. This is a creature that is totally dependent on a shepherd. And without a shepherd, the sheep will die. It is one of the creatures that God has made that is totally dependent upon a shepherd. And so that is the reference that God makes to us, the shepherd and the sheep. So if you don't mind, I'd like to give you an overview of some things we're going to cover in the series and what the Bible gives us references dealing with the shepherd and the sheep. The first thing that we're going to put emphasis on in this series is the good shepherd. That Jesus Christ, that God is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. We see that in the book of Hebrews chapter 13. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 13, we see that God is referenced as the great shepherd. The great shepherd. And in the beginning part of the series, we're going to take time to see passage after passage where God refers to himself as the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep. And the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 20, the Bible says this. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Here it's referring to Jesus Christ and God. They are the great shepherd of the sheep. That we're the sheep, we need help. Who is our great shepherd? It is God, it is Jesus Christ. And God is a great shepherd. You know, throughout the Bible we can see the things that the shepherd does for the sheep. In Psalm 23, it says the shepherd feeds the sheep, and the sheep do need fed, and that's the shepherd's job, to feed the sheep. Something else the Bible talks about, that the shepherd cares for the sheep. The shepherd cares for the sheep. We see that in John chapter 10, that he cares for the sheep. Also in John chapter 10, we see that the great shepherd, he knows the sheep. He knows the sheep. You know, the shepherd knows all about you. He knows everything about you. He cares for you because you're one of his sheep, and he knows his sheep. The Bible talks about Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. He gives reference in other passages as well that the shepherd protects the sheep. The great shepherd. Why is he our great shepherd? Because he protects the sheep. Remember, the sheep are defenseless. They are very vulnerable. And they have to have the protection of the shepherd. And we'll see that in future messages in the very beginning part where it talks about the shepherd and the sheep. Something else that we understand studying nature and looking at the shepherd and the sheep is that occasionally the shepherd must make the sheep suffer in order to help them with their obedience so they could live. The shepherd must occasionally make them suffer. Let me give you an example. Remember, sheep are stupid. So let's say that they're on the rocks over in the Palestine area. They're up in the hills and the cliffs. And a shepherd looks, sheep looks down at the cliff and says, "Hey, I think that ledge down there, it looks good." And so he falls down. He jumps on that ledge and he falls down. And now he's stuck. He can't jump up. He's stuck on that place. So the shepherd has to take his shepherd's crook, which is a staff that has a little hook on it. And he takes the hook and he pulls the sheep back on. And he puts the sheep back on solid ground. And wouldn't you know, that sheep goes by a little bit later and says, "Hey, I think there's something cool down there." And he goes off the same ledge. And so the shepherd gets down and grabs the shepherd's crook and hooks him by the neck and pulls him back up. And wouldn't you know that sheep goes down there and looks at the ledge and says, "Hey, I think there's something cool down there." And he jumps back down again. Well, if the shepherd doesn't do anything, the sheep is going to continue to do so for his own harm. So what the shepherd will do is he will break that sheep's leg. You say, "Well, that's horrible." Well, it's for that sheep's health. That the sheep wouldn't listen, he wouldn't obey, and kept falling off the cliff over and over. So the shepherd breaks the sheep's leg, but it doesn't stop there. The shepherd, whenever the herd will move, the shepherd will actually carry that sheep on his shoulders. And he will take care of that sheep, and he will travel with the sheep until that sheep's leg is healed. And after that leg is healed, that sheep will usually obey the commands of that shepherd. But the shepherd had to break the leg in order to protect that sheep. We understand there are times that God puts something in our life to get our attention. There's times that God puts something in our life to get us to obey Him. God puts something in our life, and it's not because He's being mean, it's because He's being a very loving God. And He has to get our attention. And we'll see those type of things found throughout the Bible in upcoming messages dealing with the shepherd and the sheep that we start off with our series talking about the great shepherd. As our series goes on, we're going to see something else that the Bible promotes and puts an emphasis on is that not only do we have a great shepherd, but we also understand that the Bible paints the picture that Jesus is the Lamb of God. That Jesus is the Lamb of God. Notice with me in the Gospel record of John chapter 1. The Gospel record of John chapter 1. In the middle of the series, we're going to put a lot of emphasis and notice passage after passage after passage where Jesus Christ is referenced or pictured as the Lamb of God. In John chapter 1, we have John the Baptist who is preaching. And when you know that Jesus came by one day, notice how John responds in John chapter 1, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. "The next day, John seeing Jesus cometh unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." That we understand in the Bible, Jesus is portrayed as the Lamb of God who is our sacrifice on our behalf. That Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died for your sins and for mine. And Jesus was that perfect sacrifice that took away the penalty of sin by the shedding of blood. We see that the Bible will promote and show that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. In addition, we see something else towards the end of our series that the Bible promotes and emphasizes in this relationship of the shepherd and the sheep. And we'll see that in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. The book of 1 Peter chapter 5, that God is the great shepherd and he loves the sheep. And in order to take care of the sheep, God has promoted or put and called what we call under shepherds. And so the Bible's going to say quite a bit about under-shepherds. All the way from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, he is going to put little things of the under-shepherds, which is the pastor in this case, that God has placed pastors as under-shepherds to do help and go alongside with the great shepherd's work. Notice as the Bible makes reference of this in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and notice with me in verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. In this passage, God is referring to pastors. And in here, we could see all the references of a pastor. Remember, in the Bible, there are different terms synonymous with pastor, the under-shepherd. We have the word pastor, which carries the idea of shepherd. We have the idea of the bishop, which means overseer. We have the idea of an elder, which has the idea of someone spiritually mature. All three of those offices are the same person, the pastor. The pastor is the one who shepherds the flock. It is the pastor who is the overseer. It is the pastor who should be the example, the mature one. Notice again in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, and you'll see all those terms of pastor in here. Verse number 2, feed the flock of God. Here's the idea of a pastor. Taking the oversight thereof, there's the idea of a bishop, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. There's the idea of being an elder. And when the chief shepherd, so God's the chief shepherd, we are the under shepherds who are taking care of his flock. Ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So God has placed under shepherds to help take care of God's flock, and that God is the great shepherd and that there are under shepherds. Now, as we've been talking about sheep, it's fun to hear about sheep, but it's not so fun to be referenced as sheep, that we know that sheep are dumb, that sheep are directionless, sheep need help. Sheep are defenseless creatures that are dependent on someone else. And we don't like that idea sometimes. We don't like to be called dumb, even though we can laugh at ourselves. We don't like to be said that we're directionless. We like to think that we know what we're doing. But we are defenseless creatures. But you know, one of the great things about the shepherd and the sheep, one last thing I want to show to you just as an encouragement, is that in the Bible times, a sheep is precious, personal, and prized possession. That a sheep is a personal, precious, and prized possession. That all throughout the Bible, when it deals with the idea of a sheep, it is something that is personal. There was a personal relationship with the sheep. Even when you deal with the idea of the Passover, someone was asking me about that the other day, that when the Passover lamb came, you would bring it to your house on the 10th day of the month. And you would spend time with it all the way to the 14th day of the month. You got to know the sheep. Even back then, you would have stories all throughout the Bible that talks about this flock, that talks about this relationship of the people and the sheep, that it was personal and precious. May I show you one example of it? Notice with me in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Jesus is giving a parable to people who would understand this relationship of the shepherd and the sheep. And in Luke 15, which is deals with a parable of lost things, notice with me in Luke 15, verses 4 through 7. Luke 15, verses 4 through 7. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice unto me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Here we can see this relationship. What happened when he brought the sheep home? Did he just say, oh, well, now you behave? He rejoiced. He told all of his friends about it. Why? Because the sheep was a personal, precious, prized possession. And that's how God sees us. Even though we're stupid, defenseless creatures that need God's help all the time, when he looks at us, he sees something that is a personal, precious, and prized possession. God thinks you are special. So much that he is willing to die for that sheep. So much that he's willing to go to whatever lengths to get that sheep back and to bring it back and be glad to have the sheep back. That's how God sees you. He sees us defenseless creatures, but more importantly, he sees you as something that's personal, prized, and precious. He loves you that much. And as we go through here, we're going to see this relationship, how much God loves the sheep. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.